Welcome, Telltellers. It's a new week, and you know what that means. New freaky stories. Now, today's story is a long one, but a great set of true accounts by Mark Selby, who is the Tellteller for tonight's episode. I sent out a tweet last week asking if anyone had stories of their own to send in about ghosts, paranormal, and true accounts, and Mark Selby delivered. So a big thank you for today's story. Cheers, Mark. Also, before I unleash today's story, I really wanted to thank some fantastic people in today's shout-out. So these are fans that have either liked, followed, shared, or even contributed to this channel. So, we have Paco Mac. Thanks, mate. This guy I know and is a top bloke. Cheers, buddy. Or Diddy, the Crazy Town podcast. Seriously, if you haven't heard of them, please check them out. A great podcast and an inspiration of mine. Chris Mickey, 62. D Gifted, Olive Branches 00, Caramel Lips 14369, and how can I forget my army of two, Troy Shaw and Blackpool 360. A huge thank you for your ongoing support. So, you know what time it is, right? Turn your lights off, the sound up, and get ready for something different. I was 19 when I first set foot at Fort Simcoe Job Corps. I was ushered into the dorm I would be spending the next 7 months in, and was corralled quickly into a dorm room with several other boys, who took one look at me and gave me my nickname. "We've got a lurch," they cried. I was 6'8" tall at the time, and towered over everyone. I smiled. This wasn't exactly what I was expecting, but it was a nice sentiment to someone in a completely new location. It was already near 10 o'clock, and I had been on the road since 7 that morning. Needless to say, I was tired. I got settled, and after a string of questions about myself, we all finally went to bed around midnight. It was only 5 hours later, and I woke up to everyone moving around. Apparently, we were to be up, dressed, and ready. Breakfast was in the cafeteria around 6:30, and we had to be back in our dorm at 7:30 for roll call. It was during breakfast I had been asked if the ghosts had messed with me. Apparently, this place has a ghost problem, and everyone knew about it. It was almost known that if you didn't believe, in a week, you would. I told them I hadn't, but when I asked for details, they gave me all kinds of wild stories. The biggest one was a little girl with the red ball. She would be in the hall, say nothing, but motion with her ball. If you played with her, the next day, you'd be violently ill. I personally never saw her, but everyone during my stay who claimed to have seen her did wind up severely sick the next day. It was said that when the soldiers of Fort Simcoe wanted the Indians gone, they poisoned their grain, and that the little girl died from it. She gave back that pain with contact of the ball. I looked it up online and found the same story across several different Job Corps sites across the states. I now attribute the sickness to the quality of food, but that's an entirely different story. Each dorm, there were four of them in total, seemed to have its own personal ghost who did something different. The girls' dorm had a wispy woman who would sit on the edges of girls' beds who were feeling depressed or filled with anxiety and try to comfort them. Usually, she'd only end up terrifying them. One of the boys' dorms attached to the girls' dorm had reported a woman shrieking at them until they woke with fright. The third dorm refused to talk about it, but they were attached to my dorm and you could always hear strange noises coming from the other side of the vents our dorm shared. Our ghost was a mischievous little spirit, who liked to turn on the main room's TV, where we congregated to watch movies at night and get our roll call. The only problem we had with it was that it was also changed to a channel we didn't have, so that static would play and the volume set to all the way to 100. We decided to unplug the TV one night, and we all had the worst sleep, as the TV still managed to turn on, and none of us had the courage to go out and try and turn it off until morning. There were other stories of spirits in the area. If you walked about the field at night, a big burly man would rush you from the woods and knock you down before disappearing. Again, I never saw it, but plenty of people claimed to have been attacked. A lot of people also liked to yell at the stick Indians and try and call them out. If you don't know about it, I would suggest looking it up. but also to not try it. We had many staff members on the site that were Indian and condemned the practice, fearing for the students who are unwittingly calling bad things upon themselves. As usual, the ghost stories were many, and they all came out at night. But if you went to the fort, which was only 100 feet down the road and could be travelled to during the day, you would almost certainly be visited by something. Not much at the fort itself, but walking around the property, you could see makeshift huts where soldiers used to lay and where the action was. The doors would shut on their own, and there were dark whispers on the wind. If you were alone, it felt as if some giant malignant force weighed down on you heavily. It became so notorious, they started making it so you could only go with a buddy. Now, I have had spiritual encounters before, though I wouldn't say I was some official on the whole business. I did have theories on how things worked for ghosts. That was it though. They were the untested theories of a kid with a handful of knowledge, most of that being hearsay, television, and very minuscule amounts of experience. So, when a couple of guys I didn't know very well invited me to their room, where they were going to try and talk to the spirits and wanted my help, I agreed. It was fun at first, because they didn't really ask anything super cool or special. They didn't ask the ghosts anything directly unless they wanted to know their favorite color and the like. I quickly realized we were just going to goof around in the dark and freak each other out here and there. We were seated across from each other. They sat on the couch next to the window in the corner of the room. I sat in a single chair at the table across from them. The guys asked more questions about my theories and asked how some ghosts get into buildings if they aren't summoned directly or attached to a place. That's when, looking back, I realized I should have just kept my mouth shut. I think if you invite them in, if you say it, they will come. I hadn't even finished my Field of Dreams quote when the guy with the old recorder, let's call him Dave, hit record and said, "I invite every ghost on this site into this room right now. Let us see you." I didn't have any time to tell him how bad of an idea that was before things got downright frightening. A torrent of wind hit the window. That was then followed by scratching on the walls all around us. I knew from the one or two past experiences that being firm and unafraid would help. Even so, I could see a dark figure in the shadows not far from us, and a cold breath washed over my neck. I don't know what else was in the room with us, but I felt an immense pressure threatening to crush me to the ground. The two other guys were screaming with their eyes closed, holding on to each other. This shook me from my own paralyzed fear, as I noticed that they were slowly peeking through and screaming at something behind me. "What?" I yelled, hoping that any sense of false bravado would at least get them to tell me what they were screaming about. They just pointed behind me, screaming more. Dave said, "It's going to grab you." I froze at those words, all the false bravado leaving me. At the same moment, I felt fingers drift from the back of my neck halfway down my back. That was it before I screamed. Terrified, I jumped from my chair, diving for the lights. Suddenly, everything was gone. There wasn't anything in the room but us. We took deep breaths. The other two, still freaking out. They explained that a grey pillar of wispy smoke appeared. It had no form, just a column that came through the wall and glided smoothly towards us. It had stopped, and one of the tendrils of smoke formed into a hand, and it reached towards me. That is what they saw before I leaped up and turned the lights on. As we settled, we told each other what we saw, with me apparently seeing and feeling the most of it. We were beginning to laugh again, feeling safe, until one of them mentioned, also, seeing the figure in the shadows, and the other made fun of it. I was about to tell them that that was a bad idea, when one of the bunk beds behind me shook loudly. They screamed again, and I told them it was a bad idea to make fun of spirits, especially ones you've invited into their room. And just because you couldn't see them anymore, didn't mean they weren't there still. We ended up going to the room next door, where one of the guys was a born-again Christian, and his goal in life was to be a preacher and have his own church. They told him what had happened, and he told them that they had done a very bad thing, and that he would do what he could. We spent the next 2 hours in that room, praying and going through what he called cleansing rituals, and we generally felt better. He told us we should be baptized just to be sure, and would ask the management if we could go somewhere to be baptized. The two guys did, but I didn't. I was curious now if I had been marked or something. I wanted to know more. My curiosity was piqued. I had mentioned my experience to one of the management people, and I, as a newcomer still, had to meet with them in the morning. Her father had worked here all his life, and now she had as well. The grey figure I saw, she knew immediately. She called him the chief, and from what she discerned, he was a good spirit of the chief of the tribe who had killed him many years ago. She also talked about how there are many stories of many dark figures that live in the hills around us, and the dark figure I saw may have been one of them. It was a few weeks later, I woke up from my sleep at about 3 in the morning, and found myself facing a pillar of grey, smoky wisps. It had no features, just a column of smoky wisps from the ground to the ceiling. Panic set in, but then I remember that it was supposedly the chief and that it was a good spirit. I didn't say anything, I just observed it for a minute, terrified. As if bored of me, the column slowly drifted into the wall beside me and disappeared. It's been almost 10 years since then, and I have heard our old dorms were torn down and rebuilt. I also have heard that the rebuilding process brought out a lot of dark energy in the area, and have found tales of people being attacked at night, leaving them with scratches and bruises. It seems to have calmed down now though, and with my last chat in the Facebook group about ghost stories, everyone seems to have the same old stories, though a lot more people seem to have been meeting the chief. What a jam-packed story, full of little ghost stories and encounters along the way. I absolutely loved reading this, as much as I did narrating this. Again, a massive thank you to Mark Selby for tonight's episode. You can also visit his website, which I've included in the description below, where he's got plenty more scary stories. If you're new to this channel, this is a place where stories come to live, and telltellers like you come to listen. Do you have any stories of your own though? Any ghost stories, paranormal encounters? Send me an email or a tweet or even a direct message like Mark Selby did. I absolutely love hearing what you have to say, and no story is too small. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, take 2 seconds to click that like button, follow me to find out when the next episode is out, and share it around so more people hear the stories that telltellers have to share. Every like makes a massive difference, and I thank every listener who does. So if you like, follow, share, repost, I'm giving you a shout out, just to say thank you for your support. And again, thank you, the listener, for taking the time to listen to this story. I really, really appreciate it. So, telltellers, turn your lights back on, never taunt the spirits, and as always, till next time.